radio station KAYT. Gina Alexandria. 88.1.
I've tried everything that good in my life in this world would offer me. Looking for some peace in my soul.
Gospel Radio, serving all of Senla. At
88.1.
Welcome to the Media Ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Werner at 1210 M.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message, already in progress, by Reverend Joseph Werner.
Faithful is our God. Faithful. give our choir a hand. God bless you, Sister Rosette. God is faithful.
Yes, he is.
We bless him on today as we stand all over this place. If you have your Bibles, we want to call your attention to the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5. And in the spirit of this season and in keeping with this message, let's just whisper a little bit of that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If you're really thankful for what he's done, come on. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. Now that won't mean nothing to you if you think you did it by yourself. Come on. Thank. Oh, we thank you, Lord. Yes, we do. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, we want to say thank you. I just want to thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. In the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5, verses 15 through 18, there is a word from the Lord. There you will find these words. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. And here's our key verse, verse 18. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Father, we thank you now for this preaching privilege. God, we pray that you will touch our hearts and our minds. And God, just fix us, God, that we might receive this word with thanksgiving. We thank you for it now. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. I want to talk for just a few moments from a very simple subject that says thank you. Yes. Amen. Thank you, thank you, and thank you, ushers. The mark of a cultured person is determined by what society calls etiquette. We're characterized as either being polite or impolite, crude or refined by our ability or inability to make proper use of etiquette. Etiquette says that there are certain responses to certain situations. If you ask a favor, it is expected that you'll follow up your request with the word please. If you make a mistake, you indicate your awareness of having made an error by saying my apology. If you interrupt someone, either in conversation or activity, it's proper to say excuse me. And if someone does something for you in response to their kindness, you ought to say thank you. That's what Miss Emily Post teaches us as it relates to proper etiquette. And I bring this to our attention today because we're living in a selfish world. We're living in a world that has lost nearly all sense of order and decorum. People will run over you and never look back to say, excuse me. Come on, do I have any witnesses? Folk will hurt you and never feel the need to apologize. They'll ask the world of you and expect you to give it to them on a silver platter without ever saying please. And if you give it to them or do it for them, they never feel compelled to say thank you. And my brothers and sisters, I believe that of all of the breaches of etiquette, of all the bad manners, I don't know of one that cuts more deeply than one's failure to say thank you. You may have all the positions you want. Your financial resources may be better than others. Your attainments may be above your peers. But if you don't have enough sense to say thank you, then something is still wrong with you. It may be that there are those who are unaware they ought to say it. They don't ever worry about why things happen or what causes things to come into place. For as far as they know, it's always been there. For as far as they know, it's always been like this. So they're unaware of the obligation to say thank you, because in their thinking, you haven't done anything special. And I believe this is why God told the children of Israel in the 6th chapter of Deuteronomy to teach their children diligently. Remind them of the ways that he made for them. Remind them that they weren't always living in a land flowing with milk and honey. Remind them that there was a time that they had to live among snakes and scorpions. And you know, I believe that's what's wrong with a lot of our children today. Amen. They don't want to teach it in the schools anymore. They don't want to teach, amen, about the plantation and about the times when our ancestors had to pick cotton and when they had to, amen, make do out of leftovers. And so in many people's minds, in many of our young people's minds, they just think that we've always been able to live wherever we wanted to live. They in their minds, they just figure that we've always been able to drive what we wanted to drive and wear that what we wanted to wear. But is there anybody here who knows we need to remind them that we've only come this far by faith, leaning on the Lord? We need to remind them, amen, that it was God and God alone that picked us up and turned us around and placed our feet on solid ground, so that they will remember to say, Lord, I thank you. Are there any thankful folk in the house today? You don't have to go to a history book, amen, to know you need to say thank you. Some of you can look back over your own life. Some of you can look back over your own short time on planet Earth and look where the Lord has brought you from. And if you don't have enough sense to say thank you, then something is wrong with you. Tell them so they won't mistreat what they have. Then maybe there are those who are just unable to say it. You know, thank you is not a part of their vocabulary. They have a hard time expressing thanks. But the way I was taught and the way I was raised is that if you can't say thank you, that's a bad reflection on your upbringing at home. And I don't know about y'all, but I grew up in a house with Willie and Lily, amen, that we hear all the time, what will people think? Amen. And so whatever we did out in public was a reflection of what we were taught at home. And at home, our parents taught us that if somebody does something for you, you ought to say thank you. Is there anybody here who knows that people don't have to be nice? People don't have to bless you. People don't have to do good things for you. And so you ought to have enough sense to say thank you. You may not have any money, but you can have manners. You may be poor, but you can be polite. Everybody ought to learn to say thank you. Well, in the text, Paul is addressing his letter to a very young church in Thessalonica, hence the name Thessalonians. The church at Thessalonica, or Thessalonica, as some folk like to say, was founded in the midst of great and active opposition. And they feared that Paul's continuance in the city could only bring death. So the brethren sent Brother Paul away. They said, Paul, you're getting us in trouble. Paul, you're bringing, amen, persecution to our camp. So they sent Paul away in order that their hope might be sustained in the midst of their persecution. Paul sent this letter to them about Christian etiquette. First, Paul says in the 15th verse, see that none render evil for evil. Y'all, I think that's a good message for us today. Amen. I don't care what you say. You can't live the Christian life on a payback philosophy. Tell your neighbor, it won't work like that. You can't be a true Christian living on a payback philosophy. Y'all know what a payback philosophy is, don't you? Amen. I don't get mad, I get even. Amen. I've come by to tell you this morning that two wrongs don't make a right. If someone does you wrong, you can't go around daydreaming about how you're going to get them back. You gotta remember what Paul says in Romans 12 and 9. He says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. You got to be careful about playing God. Amen. But then secondly, Paul says, rejoice. Let me everybody say rejoice.
Rejoice.
In an article that I was reading by Dr. Dale Robbins, he said that he used to think people complained because they had a lot of problems. But he came to realize that they had a lot of problems because they were always complaining. Amen. Amen. Do you know, my brothers and sisters, that complaining doesn't change anything? It won't make your situation any better. All complaining does is amplify your frustration, spread discontent, and it gives an invitation for the devil to cause more havoc in your life. And can I tell you something else I found out about complaining? Complaining will make you miserable. Psalm 77 and 3 says, I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. So Paul says, instead of complaining, learn how to rejoice. Oh my, oh my, oh my, oh my. We could have better church if folks stop complaining and rejoice. And do you know what? You can have church in your car all by yourself if you stop complaining long enough and start rejoicing. I would love to see going down 171 and pulling up at Wagon Master or Kentucky Fried Chicken a bunch of Pleasant Hill members who understand that rejoicing is more beneficial to you than complaining. God's people ought to learn how to rejoice. But we let the devil get us in such a state of mind with trouble and with what folks say about us and all of that, that we don't rejoice. But you better learn how to rejoice. Paul says, instead of complaining, rejoice. This word rejoice, translated in its original text, denotes the ability to be peaceful and calm even when circumstances around you are not peaceful and calm. Oh my, oh my. That's why I wonder how, what do folk who don't have Jesus do? Amen. Well, if you don't have Jesus, how do you find peace? And we know a lot of the ways folk try to find peace with money and with possessions and creature comforts and all of that. But is there anybody in here who's lived long enough to know that money, amen, can buy you a whole lot of things, but it won't buy you peace? Is there anybody here who knows, amen, that you can have a nice house and a nice car and nice clothes and a pocket full of cash and still not have peace? But the Bible says, amen, in Philippians 4 and 7, that the peace of God will keep my heart and my mind. The peace of God will keep me from losing my mind. The peace of God steals my troubled heart. Is there anybody thankful for the peace that only God can give you? You wonder why a believer can go through what they go through and still be all right. It's because we've got the peace of God. Amen. It keeps my heart. It'll keep your mind. And can I tell y'all something? Somebody needs to hear this. The peace of God should not only keep your heart and not only keep your mind, but it ought to keep your mouth. Some stuff we say, you know, we get mad. And all I'm saying is that it ought to keep you from going off on folks so much. It ought to keep you from cussing folk out. The peace of God. And listen, not only do we have the peace of God, but according to Romans 5 and 1, we have peace with God because we're saved. I've got peace with God. I've got the peace of God. I don't care if you like me or not. I've got peace with God. You can go on your job tomorrow and not feel any anxiety because you've got peace with God. And because you have that peace, you can rejoice. For this joy I have, the world didn't give it to me. Come on. Amen. This joy I have. Come on. Come on. Some of y'all let your whole day be affected by your coworkers, whether they like you or not, whether they speak to you or not. But is there anybody in here that's walked with God long enough to be able to say that this joy I have, the world didn't give it to me, my coworkers didn't give it to me, my family didn't give it to me, and they sure enough can't take it away? You ought to rejoice because you have the peace of God and you have peace with God. The third thing Paul says is pray without ceasing. Now you need to see how this fits together. You do know that the devil is never satisfied for peace to prevail. The devil is never happy for harmony in your house. The Bible lets us know that he is the author of confusion. So wherever Satan can get a foot in, he will. Any of y'all remember that old song that said, "Don't let the devil ride, because if you let him ride, he might want to drive"? Wherever Satan can get a foot in, he will. That's why the word says, don't give place to the devil. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. What is he telling us? He's telling us, don't ever stop praying. And do you know what the devil does to keep us from praying? He brings trouble. He brings distractions. Amen. But if you're going to develop a lifestyle of prayer, it's not an overnight destination. Don't be fooled and don't be discouraged if praying is hard work. The forces of darkness are aimed at your prayer life, because prayer is more than a time to thank God. Prayer is more than a time to ask God. Prayer is more than a time to praise God. It's also a time to listen to God. And Satan wants you to miss that conversation. That's why your children suddenly get on your nerves at prayer time. That's why the phone starts ringing, what? At prayer time. That's why somebody stops by your house at prayer time. Because Satan is trying to mess up your conversation with God. The forces of darkness are aimed at your prayer life, and that's when you got to be more determined to do as Paul says, pray without ceasing. Come on, nudge your neighbor and tell him to keep on praying, keep on praying. And then finally, Paul says, in everything, give thanks. Now notice, the verse does not say, for everything, give thanks. It says, in everything, give thanks. The verse is encouraging us to see the bigger picture, to be reminded that God is in control and we can trust him even when bad things are happening. It's no test of faith, my brothers and sisters, to say thank you when the sun is shining. Paul says, in everything. When the world turns upside down, thank you. When sickness comes into your body, you better learn how to tell him, thank you. When death creeps into your home, thank him. When hard times put you down, when bad times knock you down, when rough times try to hold you down, you better learn how to thank him. You ought to thank him because God can take what looks like defeat. You can ask Gremlin about it. He's able to take what looks like defeat and turn it into victory. You ought to thank him. He can take disaster and turn it into triumph. You ought to thank him. He can turn your midnight into day. He can take rotten grapes and turn it into sweet wine. You better learn how to thank him. And then what I like about it is Paul gives us the reason for thanking him. In Romans 8 and 28, he says that all things work together. So no matter what your circumstance today, you can still say thank you. I know sometimes it's hard because we can't see what God is doing, but you can still say thank you. I read a story of a woman on vacation, and she was shopping in the finest stores. One day, she saw the most beautiful cup she had ever seen. She went in and she bought the cup. And every day, she would take that cup out of its box. She would even talk to the cup and say, "I'm so glad I found you, cup. You're one of the most beautiful possessions that I have." On her way back home, she tried to keep the cup wrapped up, but it was so beautiful to her that she took the cup out and admired its beauty. And the story goes on to say that soon, one night, she went to sleep with the cup in her hand. And while she was sleeping, she started dreaming, and in her dream, the cup talked back to her. The cup said, "You know, I'm tired of you telling me how beautiful I am. You don't know my story. I've had to go through some stuff to get to be who I am today. As a matter of fact," the cup said, "I'm not what I used to be. I was once nothing but mud and clay. But the master craftsman came along and took me out of the mud, took me out of the muck, and took me out of the mire. I could not understand why he beat me and shaped me. I could not understand why he put me in that hot oven. I could not understand why he put paint on me and then put me back in the oven. But you know, I learned to thank the master craftsman, because if he had not molded me, I would be shapeless and without form. If he had not put me in the oven of oppression, I wouldn't have any structure. If he had not put that paint on me, I wouldn't have any color. And if he hadn't put me back in the oven again, I would fall apart. And so instead of complaining, the cup said, I just learned how to thank him. And my brothers and sisters, I don't know how you feel about it, but is there anybody here that can look back over your life? And you ain't like other folk. You know, some folk want to try to make you believe that every day has been sunshine. But I believe I got some witnesses here who can testify that I've been through the storm and I've been through the rain. I've had some hard days. I've had to go through some valleys, but I won't complain, because when I look back, I realize that everything that I went through made me who I am today. And can I tell you, I'm stronger now. I'm better now. I'm wiser now. And so all I